Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, dropping in at the start of the ep to remind you that this very Sunday, if you are listening to this hot off the presses, we have our first live show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn.
Oh, I'm so excited, boys. It's going to be a great time. We've got some fun segments planned. We've got some little contests.
You'd better believe we got guests.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Celebrity guests.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hitting the stage to talk about games with us on the 7th, 14th, and 21st of April. The 7th is this Sunday. Get your butts on down. Bring the rest of your bodies with them. Mm. It'd be great to see you there and have some fun with
us. That's right.
I'm looking forward to it.
You can get a season pass, which is a discount, and you get to come to all three shows. And you can go get those tickies at filthycasuals.com.au or at comedyfestival.com.au.
Links in the description to be there. Too loud.
John Money and his best friend Chris love skateboarding. But when they're not out kicking up their heels and rolling up a ramp, you'll find them mesmerized by the Super Mario Brothers.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanell here, Tommy, and rounding out the trio on the couch, as always...
I'm on the couch, and my name's Adam Knox. I love a couch.
Yeah, me too.
They're pretty all right.
Yeah.
One of the most... key pieces of furniture in any living space.
I think so.
You
I watched
guys
a movie
are on the couch every week. I'm always on this darn swivel chair.
Oh yeah. Hey, yeah. We can rotate.
Jump on
can
over.
Can we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch
right.
This.
You want to swap?
Maybe next time. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. Next
now's,
time we can
now's
swap.
Now's kind of awkward. Yeah.
You know what? I love a couch, yep. And I live on my couch because my wife has kicked me out yep. of the bedroom. No, I love lounging on a couch, but I don't love sitting on a couch like this.
Really?
Yeah. I think also because I've had like a bad back, it's not very supportive and I'm sitting very badly.
But you look so...
It's a very funny casual position to be sitting in to be like, I hate this.
Yeah, and my knees hurt as well. So
what are you doing then?
Well, my alternative is this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel really awkward.
Yeah, that looks bad. But
yeah,
where you were before,
yeah.
Where you were before, nestled in the corner. Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's the best bit of the couch.
See, I love a firm-backed chair. Like, so if I go to a cafe with someone and it's booth and chair, I'm always chair.
Yeah, okay.
I'm always chair.
I'm
well, let's swap
man.
From
we
next
could,
week.
We could get a comfortable okay, lunch.
Okay, great. I'm down.
I hate this. You hate that.
And look,
you who cares?
Say what you want about me, but I would actually be really stressed out if we changed it. I would actually find
but
it
Adam, the people around you are unhappy, and
yeah.
there's an easy solution.
Yeah,
to
we
keep
just
going,
to...
keep calm, carry on.
If
the Germans might bomb us at any moment.
Okay, well, no, it sounds like what you'd prefer. Would this freak you out if there had been some sort of Freaky Friday scenario?
Oh.
So Ben's brain is in my body. So to you visually, there's no difference. Yeah.
Genuinely way more, way easier
that
for me to deal
so
with.
So that would be easier looking at me here, but then being like, uh-huh. Oh no, but remember that's actually Ben.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would find that easier to deal with than just us physically being in different spaces.
I am like a wallet. I hate change.
Oh.
Notes
oh.
only. And the note is... steady as she goes.
Let's see what the listeners think. Specifically the audio only listeners.
The listeners I think won't care. Well, I can tell you, you'll get me freaking out and stressed for at least 3 weeks while I adjust to change.
Well, that's all right. It's like when you move houses and you got a pet. They do need time to settle.
I'm going
to
piss on this carpet. I'll tell you
that
much.
They have no choice.
We got a week between now and next episode. What can we do to like kind of get you ready for the transition between now and
change your minds about wanting to do this.
All right.
Let's come in and sit in our new spots and take some photos and send them to Adam so he can acclimatize himself.
Or over the course of an episode, we just gradually inch closer and closer over to the... So there will be a point where we're piled up on top of Adam like a little totem pole.
I don't think you'll notice, though.
I will say it's progress for me to be even able to say...
hey, I wouldn't like that, because normally I go like, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still something wrong with me, but
well, good if not.
I'm moving forwards.
Yeah.
Well, I'm moving to my left.
Yeah, I'm moving to the right. I watched a movie the other night, and the main character did not own a couch in their apartment, and they were a psycho.
Was
and
this
I
a feel plot like, point?
No, it should have been.
I could imagine living camping chair only.
It was basically that. They had a desk and a computer
and
like a stool next to their kitchen bench.
When you say you watched a movie, was this just one of those memes that's like, dudes will see this and think, hell yeah.
It was.
And it's just a photo of like an empty room with like a TV with Dark Souls on it and a sleeping bag on the floor.
I always see those things of like, how do men think it's okay to live this way? And it's like, you know, a concrete floor and a GameCube.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, yeah, because it's sick. Because Wave Race, Blue Storm or whatever it was.
The real question is, how do women think it's not okay to live like that in a capitalist society? Burning money on crap that you don't need, like indoor plants.
But you need a couch. I agree that a couch is the cornerstone of any living arrangement.
Podcast.
That's right.
Well, so that's the interior decoration report for the week.
Unrelatable content for a podcast, because I don't think too many people are taking in a podcast on the couch. I think it's more a... In my head,
You're on the move.
It's a walking and it's an in the car.
I'll check our stats page.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know if you're someone that consumes this podcast by sitting down onto a couch and either pumping out the Bluetooth speakers or chucking the headphones in.
What'll get a lot of bums onto couches when it finally comes out, which there was news in the last couple of days. Unfortunately, I think like even on April Fool's Day maybe of, but it's real, that the Xbox shop storefront page for Hollow Knight Silksong got like added.
Yeah.
Which is typically, hey, we're making movements with this thing soon.
For the number of years that like every, you know, PlayStation Showcase, Nintendo Direct.
Of which
Direct,
there is one next month.
Right. Every like new one of these sort of, direct things that comes out. This is the thing that people are always speculating is going to be announced or shadow dropped. Very weird way for it to just all of a sudden be like not a date, but a like tentative placeholder kind of page.
It's just back end stuff, but people notice this shit. They have feeds, I suppose, that update along with it. But it's, it happens when something is going to be like pre-purchasable or whatever soon or something like that. So that's exciting. I'd love to see something of that game, much like every other desperate YouTube commenter out there.
Yeah.
Who are my people? Please don't change places on the couch. Type.
Just flip the screen.
Yeah. But the fact that this came out on April 1st, on April Fool's Day, although... it's a Melbourne developer, so I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like April the 2nd here by that point, but April the 1st in the States.
I guess so. And like, while the servers would be in, like, where's Microsoft? Are they in like Washington or some shit? Seattle? Maybe Seattle.
Maybe,
Microsoft,
yeah.
Seattle, maybe. But definitely a day behind us. So April Fool's Day over there. And what a great day it was this year. Once again,
I considered
so many silly ideas and funny little, all the brands just really making me, really making me remember and realize why I hold them so near and dear to my heart. And
they're my friends.
The fun that I have when I eat a box of cereal, just, oh, what a great day.
It's good to see Nike's having some fun.
Yeah.
About time.
They really got me.
I had a look
We're going to pay our workers what they deserve. April Fools.
I had a look at maybe doing a quick little list of some April Fools announcements or whatever, but I got like annoyed whilst looking at them.
IGN did a list of all the best ones, and the one that they did was up the top of the list. It's like, that's big of you.
What was IGN's one?
IGN's one was Nintendo doing the Virtual Boy Pro, a Switch attachment thing where it... This is the thing. It's like if it's immediately obvious that it's not a... This isn't a prank.
Yeah.
It's just a thing where it's like you've made up, like, you know, the non-alcoholic beer Heaps Normal. They did a thing in Australia about how they're doing a... like a juice box, like a kid's version. Hmm. It's like, now your kids can enjoy drinking. It's like, if you can look at it immediately and go, oh, this is, oh, oh yeah, a f- it's like it's not a prank. It's not a joke. It's like the day has turned into make up a fake product and make an ad for it and put it on your Instagram page. Right.
I know. I don't remember what they are now because it was two whole days ago for us here in Australia. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
But I got by a couple. And I'm like... Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot.
I'm the April Fool.
But yeah, I don't think I got... But that's the thing. Like, I read the start of the Virtual Boy headline thing and was like, oh, they're putting that on, like, some of them on Nintendo Online, and then just finished reading the headline and was like, oh, well, no, that's just fake.
And then they had a thing of, like, it's an augmented reality thing, and they had a guy driving his car and was like, oh, you wear this and you fucking Mario's driving alongside you, and then in the video someone has an accident or
right.
And to the ones that I didn't just thought were normal things, to be fair, it was like, oh, the dog food company's making cat food now, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, not really like a funny prank, just a lie.
I go into the day on such high alert. It annoys me so, like, just genuinely going to bed the night before and being like, now just remember, when you get up and you look at your phone in the morning, you are going to be immediately annoyed.
It's reverse Christmas
because the fact that we get 2 days of it too, so we get all our shit brands.
You there, boy? What day is it? April 2nd.
You there, boy? What day is it? The day that Coke are making a cum in a bottle.
That'd be a good one.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Take some real risks.
Yeah.
You know, if the joke product is like could genuinely get you shut down
right.
by people believing that it's real.
Yeah.
Then that's funny.
The White House should be like
new president.
Russia have launched the nukes.
Yeah.
April Fools.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, maybe this is like an English thing from like, but it have you also heard the thing of you're not meant to do it after midday?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. That's the normal thing.
I think that's universal, yeah.
I think that's gone away, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an American thing, but I think it's a brand thing because they're there from 9 to 5, so they want all day to be able to do their April Fool's thing.
And they know it's, you know, internet globalization, you know, no it's like they want to get their shit.
No one respects that part anymore, though. No. So if I'm at 2 p.m. real time,
yes.
which is Melbourne, Australia, the time that everywhere in the world should function.
Yeah, that's the universal dateline, right?
Yep.
That's
It's the time
main character time zone. Yeah. MCT.
Plus 10.
My guard isn't up. My ears aren't pricked listening for Jester Bells.
Right.
I do think some brands, every now and then you see like after midday, they'll have like edited the post and like up the top will be like, edit JK. But the whole thing of it, like, is there anyone out there just in their daily life who's just throwing pranks on April Fool's Day? Like, does that happen? Because that's what it's kind of meant to be.
I was going to say, it should be.
Going into the office and, like, putting a whoopee cushion on their co-worker's chair.
Yeah, doing the fucking buzzer and the handshake.
It feels like all it is now is brands doing shit. It feels like there's no, like, what happened to the larrikin?
Yeah.
I'm a big April Fool's guy. Every April Fool's I prank my girlfriend, and it's great because that means each year I get to do the same prank on a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because they leave me April 2nd.
Glad wrap on the toilet seat. It just feels like no one... You don't hear about that anymore. It's all just like,
and
it's
become
brand day.
It fits in with the like stereotypical bitterness that people in comedy would be like, joke day is stupid.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Like, I know we're doing that, but.
Yeah,
like,
and we do it every year, but it continues. It's like, it has gotten more and more into the like, there just is this complete like cookie cutter mold of like a brand to just plug their thing into like, pick a completely random thing. Pivot for your brand to be doing
and
mock it up and then put it out there and there you go, there's some engagement.
Well, because like one brand did it once and it got them heaps of attention. It's just it's a cynical advertising thing.
It's the same as why in comments of everything you'll get like, you know, Microsoft Office being like, great video. People are like, wow, it's Microsoft Office.
Oh, I'm going to buy Word now.
I think that's what it is too, is like the thing of it being so social media focused and like,
right.
But you're right, like, every now and then Lauren will show me like a TikTok that's popping off and then just like all the brands are commenting underneath being like, hey, can we send you a free cat? Or like changing their like, you know, their profile pic on there to be a screenshot from this thing that's
right.
Blown up. Arby's like, thinks my video was on Fleek. So, you know, it's so, but whatever. People's podcast players are going to hypocritically play the like, welcome to the 2002 Game of the Year episode.
Oh, good point.
Whatever.
Yes.
But April's done. But Hollow Knight Silksong is probably actually slowly moving towards being a real thing.
That's been in, it's, you know, been such a long time with like no new info. No, you know, they haven't been doing updates or like drip feeding. There was that like initial announcement thing however long ago. And
there
like,
were some screenshots and like maybe some footage and things like that. And then the scope of it changed. And then there's some stuff after that. But they've been like, abnormally for a game studio sort of tight-lipped about it, I suppose, in such a long time.
I mean, probably, one of the most hyped indie games in...
ever.
Maybe forever. Yeah. So it'll be, it'll be cool to finally get some announcement on that.
And I know that every time a director or a showcase comes out, people, you know, in the lead-up are speculating that it'll be featured in that. But with this PlayStation 1 coming up, it will definitely be featured in that.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft are no longer involved.
Yep.
Now, Adam, talk us through this thing that you wrote on the whiteboard that does sound like an April Fool's Day social media
and it was
drop.
Taking place around it, but I think it was real.
Right.
It was real.
Do you want me to double check? Oh, it's definitely real?
The tweet is 100% real.
Okay.
And I think the thing is real. I think some people are joking.
Mm-hmm.
This is real. I'll tell you the real bit.
Tell me
what's
real.
And then I'll tell you when I get into editorial.
Okay.
The director of Tekken.
Yep.
By Hachi Mishima?
He's the director of
Iron Fist?
The Zaibatsu.
Yes.
Fuck, what's it called? The Mishima Zaibatsu.
Yes.
God
yes,
damn
yes.
it. What? anyway, he tweeted a thing out being like, I'm only going to like talk about this once, but I do want to know the answer.
Mm.
Why do people keep asking for me to add a Waffle House level to Tekken? What's that about? Some communities keep asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. I won't talk about this again. But and, having said moments ago, I did get got by some April Fools. I think this was is clearly some joke within some community somewhere.
Right.
Where they're like, haha, Tekken Waffle House level for whatever reason.
Right.
And,
then it's a Japanese man reading that and being like, what the fuck's Waffle House?
Yes, you could probably figure it out. It's up there with Pizza Hut as the, like, we tell you the type of food and the type of building. You can put together what we do.
This is real. This is real. I'm happy to set your mind at ease. It's all real.
The whole thing.
So it's the director's name is Katsuhiro Harada. And the reason why this has been happening to him is because Waffle House is open till like 2 a.m. and lots of people fight there. And there's a lot of social media videos of people like someone behind, like an employee like throwing a chair at someone.
So it's, that it's people going like, put an over the road from Frankston Station level into Tekken.
Exactly.
Yeah. I understand.
Exactly.
Now. GMT plus 10
That's
is how
right.
I need these references mm-hmm. to be.
So I don't know if it was actually explained to him, but The Verge explained it to me in an article.
Great. Okay. That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of level that, not, don't do Waffle House specifically, but like some of the like nighttime diner type levels in Street Fighter and so on.
You could
on.
See that being in there.
They're absolutely. Cool. Yeah, put that painting of the lonely diner.
Oh, yes.
That is a level.
Yeah, a little filter, like a painterly filter over the
That's
characters.
That's pretty old. Is that public domain?
Might be.
They put it in Smash Brothers.
If you make it just like public realm changed enough parody version.
Yeah, true.
Mickey Mouse is sitting in there, but the old one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Get in there and beat the shit out of the dogs playing poker.
Yeah. Man, fighting in front of paintings isn't the worst idea that anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
A painting-based fighting game
Beautiful.
Where you're playing as open source.
What's
the,
about like
what's
it's
the real world word for open source?
Copyright
public
free,
domain.
Public domain. Yeah.
What about like Mario 64 style? So you're in front of the paintings, but then you can like push people into the paintings. And then go into the world of the Mona Lisa.
You get like a Picasso faced character, and then if you punch him real hard, his face goes normal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Blurry Van Gogh character.
Sunflowers. I like this idea. Just set the game in the Louvre.
Yeah.
And then you can. Get like because Mortal Kombat and stuff, you could punch people into the next
dead or alive style, get punched up through the pyramid glass up the top. All right, there's lots of jobs in video games at the moment. Someone do that. It's a safe industry coming.
Now there's an April Fool's prank I'd be okay with. The Louvre tweeting we're developing a video game.
Yeah,
I'm walking around the Louvre in VR. I'd like.
Or fighting people around the Louvre.
Also good.
Yeah.
Fighters, not louvers. Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm a louver and a fighter.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
There's
your
title.
Yeah.
That has also gone up on the Xbox back end. But there, hey, I also I've been playing the Playdate a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
me and some other kids, our mums take us round to each other's houses and yeah. we have a play. It's such a cool little thing. I hadn't played it in ages, and it took forever to update it to current stuff.
Yeah, the same thing.
It was slow downloading machine.
I felt like when I plugged it in last, it was like it had always like this backlog of updates, and rather than just download the most current one. It was like it felt like it was going through them all in order.
No, yeah. It does. It's like old, like updating World of Warcraft style, where you have to put patch 3 on and then 3.1.
Yeah,
that lets you get to patch 3.6.
And every time, it's like it does it and then it stops and then it refreshes and it's like, hey, new update available. And then you got to like click that. And then same with like the games. It's like, hey, there's a new game and you got to like click on the game to just remove the.
If you were using it more often, it wouldn't be as much of a thing because I had to, you know, get it from dead battery up to top. But
hey, if they had more stuff on it for us to play, we would be using it more
often.
Turns
out there's a lot there since I last looked
There is a fair bit.
I played a bit of Mars After Midnight and co-recommend that. It's a fun little game. The animations are so smooth and funky. Like, I really like the aesthetic of that thing still.
It's cool. The like black and white, but like obviously way more fidelity than a Game Boy and way more like, these kind of like almost like 3D rendered, but then like scaled back into that like block sort of dot matrix kind of thing.
It looks great. And the fact that they're more available now, even though there was a thing this week where like 400,000 of them like either got stolen or went missing, the pallets went to the wrong place, there was something. But
that's so many.
It's and it from what I was looking at it, which wasn't the entirety of every article about it, but it was pieces of two. Which makes one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pieces of two sounds like a Playdate game.
Yeah.
Probably a good one.
Yeah. Probably, just based on the title, probably a great game.
Yeah,
I've got a good feeling about that one.
They're
pretty available now, and I do recommend that is a fun thing. If you won't necessarily get your money's worth, even if they're about 180 US, I think.
Right.
It's not like a good value proposition sort of thing.
No, but it's like a collector thing.
It's a goofy, fun, strange, offbeat thing if you really like little bite-sized sort of games too. I think there's a
and stuff reason is to get like it. Yeah, there is new stuff coming out regularly enough on it. It's easy to get the tools to develop stuff for it, so you're seeing a lot of stuff kind of trickle out, and like it still does remain to be seen like what Panic's plan for it is going, like if they do another season, like there's not a ton on it at the moment, but they're, you know, who knows, it could be a thing that they support for a very long time, and then within a couple of years it's like there is a massive bank of stuff on there.
I think there's enough in that catalog from browsing through it and seeing some things that looked good.
Yeah,
and they're all sort of like a handful of American, there's $6 to $9 sort of ish American dollars. Enough of a point where if something looks interesting, you don't feel too bad about hit and go.
Yes. May as well, yeah. I got
cranking the crank to buy a game in that catalog is fucking evil to do because like it feels fun as hell to buy shit.
Yeah. I really respect the commitment to like there's no way to override this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can develop, you can make a, there's plenty of games on there that don't use the crank at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an option that they give to the developers, but we'll be damned if we're not making you fucking crank that damn thing to lock in the purchase.
It feels like you're like drilling up the well of this game, and then it takes 25 minutes to download.
I kind of wish everything had that, honestly. Like having that few seconds to be like, do I really want this?
Yeah.
Like,
it does give you a moment,
because you're like getting a little progress bar that you get 3/4 of the way, and you're like, it'd be so easy to just back out now.
Yeah. It's like apps will have you swipe across the screen and like any sort, when you get a little, that little buzz on your phone if you buy an app.
Yeah.
The little doing sound. Yeah. Like it's all.
Well, I have Amazon Prime, so I have like one click ordering where frequently I'll
dull,
be like,
boring.
What have I done? Oh no.
Yeah.
They've made this too easy for me to make big mistakes.
Let me hook up a fucking dancing mat to my credit card and knock out a bit of Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
You got a moonwalk.
Man's fucking dust
you
gotta dance.
Bust out the can to buy some new cables.
It is like
I need new shoes. What do I do?
I reckon there are enough games on it that if you like it as a thing, then it's probably worth it in the sense of like, what is it? Two What do they charge for it now?
I think it's $180 American.
Right.
Plus shipping to wherever.
Because there's the 12 games that you get as part of it for free. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy, like with any other console, you can buy a bunch of games. And there's probably like, what, like 20 plus games on the catalog?
There's more than that.
Oh, there's, yeah.
There's
way,
way more than
yeah.
that.
So I think like if
even
you're
when
into
I
it,
got mine like pretty early days, they didn't have the catalog yet, but you could sideload stuff really easily.
Oh
like
yeah, from itch.io,
which was just
yeah.
the equivalent of they've just built that into the console.
Yeah,
but even then there were like yeah, right, right. even then there were tons and tons of just like yeah, independently developed
right.
things.
And then the crank, like as much as it is a silly gimmick, it's also extremely unique. Like
it's fun.
There's nothing else you're getting a crank on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was playing a bit of that Jolly Chimp Champ that you talked about last week.
Yep,
and that's crank only.
It is. It's yeah, yeah.
And yeah, just like you know, you wouldn't get you would get some appropriation of that
right.
if it was on another console,
some,
but just
like
the
an
specific,
analog, but yeah,
like,
yeah,
way it feels to and like it really does translate like one for one on the screen.
Mm.
It's. Yeah, it's great. It's so unique.
In Mars After Midnight, you're opening up that window to check if mm-hmm. someone can come into whatever thing you're running and then slamming it shut on
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah.
If like, why are you wasting my time having three eyes?
Yes.
And it feels great. Like, yeah, if you think it's a fun little coup, the fact that the second one is like the fart club or whatever, the very second mm-hmm. one you go into, it's like, look at them for a minute and see if they fart, then
yep.
they can come in.
Yep.
It frequently had me laughing out loud.
Well, no, you can choose different ones because the second one for me was the flinches.
It was just a second in the list for me, I guess.
Right.
I don't know if the list is...
a list?
Changes order for different...
You can choose. You can choose...
I know you can choose them, but I just mean the second one in the list.
Oh, right, right, right.
So yeah, and that's the way the list has to stay. And if we move the list order at all, then it won't make any sense.
Reverse
anymore.
Alphabetical.
I also got an email this morning. Analog pockets are about to be restocked.
Ooh,
I think maybe this week
shit.
Or this weekend. And the little adapters. So if anyone listening, if you're keen, set your alarms.
Oh yeah,
to get on eBay and buy one through a reseller.
Yes, in Australia at least, it actually is cheaper. Weirdly,
huh?
Some it's.
I think it's their shipping is really expensive. So
their shipping is fucking nuts.
At the very least, it's comparable, even with the markup.
Oof.
But then also, don't support people just being fucking buy new resellers
scalpers.
Type of thing. It is, it's a shitty practice, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shitty practice, I will not be able to play the game Stellar Blade because I haven't played it yet, so I haven't had practice. So I'm shitty.
Great.
Yeah.
Put my 10,000 hours into segueing. That's for damn sure.
You won't
practice enough for that.
You won't be able to play it?
Don't
not
analyze what I said.
He hasn't practiced
Simply
enough.
Let it wash over you. Enjoy the experience.
Yeah. Well, I have. I played the whole goddamn demo from start to finish.
That's
How
good
long
practice.
Is the demo?
Like a couple hours tops.
Okay.
Yeah. It as far as I can tell, it's the start of the game. So you get the full like cool cinematic.
I would love to play this demo and it starts with like level 4.
The end.
And it's text only on the screen. I played a different demo.
That'd be pretty funny, putting the demo out and it's just the credits. There you go, guys. Now you're ready. Now that you know everyone that worked on the game, you're ready
got
to play.
An idea
it.
Of what it'll be like.
Yeah,
at least a part of it.
We demonstrated something. We demonstrated the crew. So yeah, it I didn't really know much about this game. I knew that there was controversy about the main character being too sexy, which she just looks like Bayonetta. Like, if you didn't care about Bayonetta, then...
Yep.
I've seen, I haven't really looked at much of this game either. It's been weird. Stellar Blade, for context, I suppose, for people who've never heard of it. It's been promoted a fair bit by Sony in some of their, like...
Yep.
I'd kind of forgotten what this was when you said you were going to get the demo and then looked it up and I was like, oh, that's right. I remember this being in one of those direct State of Play things a while ago and thinking it looked good.
Sci-fi
it,
character action game.
Mm. It was called Project Eve for a while.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they changed the name. The main character's called Eve, that's why. Yeah, it is third person, close to sort of a Devil May Cry sort of situation. It's your basic light attack, heavy attack, dodge, parry, and you can have perfect parries and all of that stuff. And you're like, you know, hold L1 and press a face button for a special attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's basically the gameplay of the game. But yeah, you're like a special robot thing and you land on Earth and there's aliens. And that's basically it. You land, it's linear. There's little camps where you save and you restore your health and you buy shit, very much like the Final Fantasy Rebirth sort of situation. And yeah, it's all about timing. It's all about dodging and parrying and attacking. And
it's like comedy then. It's all about timing.
Dodging the booze, parrying the heckles.
And looking hot. But yeah, it's like it's a classic. It's almost like Souls-like in that the enemies are quite, you know, they're tough. It's very easy to die. It's not a sort of, you know, hack and slash sort of situation. You do need to parry. You do need to dodge. You build up those special attacks by attacking. So there's a lot of incentive to play aggressively. Yeah, and like the design is fucking sick. Like it is, all the text, all the interface stuff is very cool. I think it's a Korean developer. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the text is like subtitled with Korean, you know, that kind of design style. I really, really like it. Basically, the combat is the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
And it feels weighty and it feels chunky and it feels like you are doing some damage. And so the demo is like, yeah, the start of the game, very simple tutorialization, sick cinematics, like the design of all of that stuff is really cool. And it builds up to like a big boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of Lies of P. Like it's not, it's Souls-ish. It's not forgiving,
but more but like a Devil May Cry sort of thing.
Yeah,
also
I guess so. Yeah,
I don't know. Having not played, I wanted to play this demo, but I've lent my PS5 to my brother-in-law, which he's just my normal brother, but that's still the law.
Oh.
So he to, what are those noises?
Laughter.
That's a weird noise.
That's laughter. That's how I laugh. It's not quite, there's not like the sort of over the top combos and juggling and airborne stuff. Like it reminded me more of a Souls game, or even like kind of like those Assassin's Creed games that copied the Souls games.
Like a Wolong or something as well, maybe. Like that's more.
Not really.
Maybe it's doing its own thing.
It's kind of doing its own thing. Like it doesn't quite fall into any of those buckets.
Okay.
But it's really fun. It's like I couldn't stop playing it. It's really, really enjoyable. It's fluid. The combat feels great. The enemy designs are cool. It's like a weird, interesting sci-fi world. I'm down.
Cool. It's out on like the end of the month, right? April 24 or something like that, I think.
24 sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And it's PS5 only as well, I believe.
Yeah.
At least at this stage.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited to play it. I wish that it was out now.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. Wish granted.
What?
Here it is. I've been playing a game that is actually out now.
Okay.
And did have a demo. Well, I guess it still probably does have a demo.
Okay.
It's a game called Pepper Grinder.
Okay.
I remember you mentioning this at some point.
Yeah.
When we were at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And you had some salt, but then you were like, hey, you know it's coming out soon.
Mm.
What is Pepper Grinder?
Mm.
Pepper Grinder is an indie game. I think it's just, it is just one guy that made this.
Okay.
2D platformer, and you are, the mechanic is you've got this big drill,
mm-hmm.
and so you're walking along doing funny tweets.
Yeah. Well, they used to be funny.
You hold the ZR button and you're kind of walking along and you'll come up to a big chunk of like earth,
mm-hmm.
and you can use the drill to drill through it and kind of pop out the other end. If you push the jump button, if you hold that down as you're coming out of the earth, you'll do like an extra like, you know, leap into the air. You'll get like more momentum. And basically you're just using your drill to cut through the earth, hit enemies, and sort of traverse your way around these levels. Using your drill, and it starts to add in different little mechanics, different little attachments that you're picking up for the drill, it's very like Mario 3D World, kind of like having an idea, doing one level based all around that. Like the start of it, you just kind of think, oh yeah, little platform where I'm drilling my way through the earth. That's kind of all this is. Mm. But then, yeah, it starts to really turn into a thing where, yeah, each level has its own little wrinkle or mechanic. It's got great music. The style of it is really cool. And it just, the movement of it and like cutting your way through the earth just feels great. Mm. Like having this big, this giant drill that is like double the size of your character. And like being able to, you know, like you'll be drilling through the ground and there'll be a little guy kind of, you know, walking along on the surface and just like popping up through him and like taking him out by like bursting through where he is. Like, and there's bits where there's like little ships and cars that you can like destroy by going up underneath them through the earth. It's great. It's really, really solid. Really recommend it.
What's it on?
I think it's on everything. Yeah,
yeah, right.
It's like $20. There's a demo of it on the Switch at least, which I would assume is on probably everything. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, really great little Devolver published. Kind of style. If you've ever liked stuff they've put out, I think you'll enjoy this. Yeah, it's really, cool. Really good. Mm. Really solid, unique and, just a lot of fun. Feels great to control.
Nice.
That sounds good. I want to play that.
Yeah.
You've sold me.
Yeah, it's cool. I was playing... Oh, fuck, I forget
you
the
monster.
Name of it. I was
playing How this, dare you do that to a human being?
I was playing this game on the Game Boy Advance. God, I forget what it's called. It was developed by a Game Freak, and it's like a drill mechanic where you're like each level you're...
Mr. Driller?
It might be Mr. No, Mr. Driller is a different one, I think.
There was a game... Is there
Drill Mr. Dozer, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Driller is like a puzzle game.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
is like a platformer where you've got a drill that you're using to like... destroy things and get through doors, and there's kind of three different gears to it that are like scattered across the level. So it's each level is like its own self-contained Metroidvania, and then there's like a whole thing to the like how you're holding down the trigger to this one's a lot more like fluid and just platformery. Like the other one was like Drill Dozer is like, I think maybe the cart when it came out had like a rumble pack in it. It was kind of like an early thing of that. That was like part of the gimmick
of it.
That
does ring a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Pokemon like pinball game had that too. So Game Freak had them on the shelf.
If
Game Freak even made the Pokemon pinball game.
Oh, I bought while I was in Japan. I bought the WarioWare game that's got the gyro.
Oh
thing
hell yeah,
in it.
Twisted.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah,
that's great.
I got that, and I got the Kirby one where you like
Kirby tilt and tumble.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I really got into getting my GB carts that have some kind of thing in them that can't be done through emulation for my little...
I was holding a Game Boy camera the other day.
Oh, really?
I had it in my hand.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I twisted the camera around once. I went, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You see them
then
in
I
the...
put it on the concrete floor next to my GameCube and went to sleep on said floor.
You see them in the cabinet at Super Potato used game store in Japan where there'll be the shelves where like, you know, maybe $40 for a game that's boxed and in decent condition or, you know, $15 for just a loose cart. But then there's the stuff behind the cabinet and you go, oh, yeah, a Game Boy camera in the box.
Mm.
Let's see what this is going for. $8,000.
I'm sure someone must have done this already, but buying as many secondhand Game Boy cameras as you could and making like an exhibit out of the photos that were still in the memory of those pre-owned Game Boy cameras would be sick.
I feel like you see every now and then there'll be like a social media post of like a, you know, here's my family holiday shots taken on the Game Boy camera or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the printer, we could print them out onto a little sticker.
The best. So, and you could go into, do you remember they used to have those booths in like, maybe they're in Toys R Us's and stuff, where you could take your... Pokemon Snap cartridge in and get your photos of Pokemon printed out. I never did it and it haunts me still.
I don't know that I ever saw one. I feel like that was the era where you would read about something like that in a magazine from America and then be like, oh, I guess we just can't. Like the Game Boy printer is a good example where I never saw one. I never actually saw one for sale when they were around. And so I was just convinced like, I guess this just never came out here.
We
just never got the printer.
I feel like they had the booths. I feel like I might have just seen a photo developing booth and gone, imagine if that could have Pokemon.
It was
in
just
it.
Like yellow or red or blue.
Yeah.
Going to the chemist with your cart and being like, there you go.
Yeah.
Sort that out for me. But Pepper Grinder. Good fun. Cool. Recommend it.
I had the shitty. Have you ever like. I thought a game was out and went to download it and it's a month away still.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
But they're doing an anniversary edition of that game Braid.
Oh, yes.
Which was one of the early sort of big hit indie games on the 360.
I never played it.
Well, it's coming out, and it had so they made something like 30 new levels for it as well.
Oh, cool.
When the original had 35 or something.
Because he's
so they've kind
on...
of made Braid 2.
Ah, oh, sweet.
He did The Witness as well.
Yeah, and I think he's working on another one that was in maybe that Nintendo Indie Direct recently. That's like a, it's kind of, I think it's like a RPG kind of puzzle game, chess kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
That looks cool.
Maybe so. But this it comes out at the end of April, and yeah.
I feel like
it'll be really great when it comes out.
Not out yet. I'll begin to play Stella some more Blade. Of those levels.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I feel like Pepper Grinder was one of those ones that, like, when it was first announced in whatever, you know, showcase thing it was in, it got a lot of heat then. But then sometimes these things, like, they take a couple of years to come out, and then by the time they come out, they're just... It's not really, hasn't really been talked about all that much.
Yeah.
It's especially hard when you're doing a pixel art game. Just in presentation, it doesn't stick in the mind as easily as something with a more unique art style. And even if it's a good pixel art.
Well, the trailer might, like when it's in a thing of like, here's a bunch of stuff that's coming out. Like if it's got like enough of a hook to it.
Sure.
Because I do remember seeing this like whenever it was a couple of years ago and immediately being like, oh, fuck, that looks cool. And that's a cool mechanic that's like... been in a couple of things, but like 20 years ago. So it's one of those cool things of, you know, that's what I was getting at before with the Drill Dozer thing, is like they've changed it a bit, but they've clearly, they're fans of that game kind of bringing that idea back.
There's one somewhere on the horizon that I forget the name of, so this is going to be pretty unhelpful, but it looked cool. because
you are on fire today.
I'm just cooking on all cylinders. That's how I cook, on the top of a V8 engine.
Oh, just eggs. Just
awful,
fried eggs.
Disgusting eggs. They taste like oil.
Yeah.
But you're holding a Game Boy. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? You're holding like the equivalent of a Game Boy.
Right.
It is in first person, and you're in a three-dimensional world, and you are navigating this three-dimensional world both in real life going... in three dimensions there, and then there is also a two-dimensional version of it being displayed in pixel art on the Game Boy.
That does sound familiar.
Yeah. It's sort of like how that one Paper Mario game, you could swing it to 3D and 2D.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the one of the like WarioWare mini games.
Maybe.
Where the you're like, you're playing your game and you've got to like hide it when your mum comes in.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bedroom. Like I'm talking as my mum now, trying to remember like, no, he's in that movie. What's that movie called? You know, the one with the hobbits, Lord of the Rings. No.
No, it's not
the
that
hobbits.
One.
It's not hobbits. They're hobbits and they like do magic. Do you mean wizards? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of Dobby?
Who's that guy?
You thought Dobby was a little hobbit?
No. Ian McKellen, that's his name. It is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why Pepper Grinder might not have made a big splash. It's not been reviewed like exceptionally well.
Oh, interesting.
Like it's getting eights and sevens, which are absolutely fine. But in the world of video games press, that does mean it tends to get lost, which
and
is
and indie
a shame.
Really does. And it's at the moment it feels like
it's
such saturation point that it really does need to be something that is like. Yeah, really above and beyond, or like has some kind of story element to it that's about
some
mental illness in some
Twitch
way.
Twitch streaming hook to it.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Because, like we've had, you know, Dredge was like a massive hit and a breakthrough, and it was, still just like a good indie game, but it had, a story and it had that aesthetic and it had all of that stuff where
this
it's
is
not
just
pixel art, I guess.
Yeah, this is a really good, solid 2D platformer.
Right, right.
Yeah. With some like interesting twists and additions, but it's not like super groundbreaking or anything, but it is it's fun. It's a good
game.
Sounds
like you're breaking a hell of a lot of ground than it is. Changed his tune halfway through describing it.
Well, I've been breaking a lot of ground in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh yeah.
Rebirth.
This is the rebirth.
I just did the bit where it makes you play a tournament of Queen's Blood.
Yep.
The card game that's in it.
Yep.
And annoyingly, it tells you that that doesn't do anything to change your rank in the card game out in the rest of the world.
Yes.
Which I was like, why not? I just won a tournament on a boat. Why aren't people on land?
Queen's Blood is so much fun.
They really need to make a mobile, if you could like carry that over into a separate thing, surely they got to be thinking of that.
Absolutely. I would love to play it against real people. I would love a multiplayer.
Yeah. Queen's
I was Blood. Thinking they could make a physical version of it.
Yeah, hard, because some cards, maybe they're the later ones you sort of get to. A lot of them are changing other cards' stats
often.
Yeah,
that's true. Like, you put one down and it minus one's an enemy or plus one's a you.
You need a fuckload
of tokens.
You just
need a little
token everywhere.
Thing to remember. But there's nothing really about it that's too... You could do it.
You and could I think, do it.
Yeah.
People will find the way.
If you got that little... If it came with a little thing that fucking... spewed fire out at the end of the game.
Yes.
The end of each round.
I love that, how no one just plays it on a table. Like, we can't play it without a plastic castle next to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. All that stuff. We got to have some jazz playing in the background.
Oh. How are you finding it, Tommy? Because you'd only played... You don't know what happens in this game.
Right, you're beyond where you'd gotten to in 7 originally.
Yeah. It's, it really is... Like, I was thinking about this when I started playing it. Even if you'd obviously have to, like, tweak some things about the story in the beginning, but you could have this detached from being a remake and a part two and a follow-on, and I think it would still stand alone as just... If this was a game that just existed where it's, like, beginning of the story is these guys are fugitives, they're on the run, and now it's just kind of like a...
It's got that
part open world, part linear thing. It totally would stand like it could just be its own.
It has the story so far a little bit on the main menu too. I didn't watch that.
Right.
But I mean, if none of that other stuff existed and this was just like a new game
that
existed with like some, it would still function really well, I think.
Mm.
The characters still stand well alone. Like, they're so full of personality that I don't think you need to have a pre-existing relationship with them to enjoy their company.
it is interesting, like in remake, obviously being a little more across like, oh okay, well this bit they've really fleshed out, this bit's new, but like not having any context for that in this and sort of sort of being able to intuit some of it, but then like, I would have guessed that the Nibelheim thing was new, which you guys were telling me the other week it was in the original.
Yeah. You've disproved everything you're saying, Bogo.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that the thing that's most directly from the original was brand new.
So. But
I'm on a boat playing this card game that is new for this, which I imagine.
You get on the boat,
like,
but you don't play the card game.
Yeah.
Other stuff happens. And then, like, I feel like pretty much everything after that point is massively fleshed out in this compared to the original, except for like the bit where you go to a theme park where it's pretty much the same, just presented in this third, three-dimensional, proper, fully fleshed out way.
Yep.
But even like there are so many bits where in the original version you go to that town, it's a place to save your game, you have one conversation and then you go, oh, that person we're following has gone over here, and then you leave. In this, it's like 3 to 4 hours of gameplay and mini games specifically.
Yep.
It's a lot of like, play this little thing, find this little guy, wear this little outfit.
Every town is like, well, we do things a bit different around here. We've got our own crazy claw machine.
Yeah.
Is this bit in
the whole town around?
Yeah.
Is this bit in the original where you're underneath this, you're in this little slum underneath a big town. And in order to get up to that top bit, you have to ride a dolphin around. And the dolphin's name is Mr. Dolphin.
The answer is yes.
Yes. That is
not
something that's fleshed out.
This feels
out.
Very 1997.
Yeah.
They did flesh out that stuff, though.
Absolutely. They turned it into like Wave Race, basically.
Yeah.
But,
you have to pop some balloons to make him really happy so that he'll throw you high enough into the air.
Yeah. Guess what? In the original... it's just based on timing, and it's really hard to time because it's an isometric game.
It was weird.
The perspective is really strange. Mm. Yeah,
I remember that bit being kind of annoying.
It's much improved in the remake.
But yeah, I did a little quest where you're in that town, and the mayor's son has run away, and you have to go with the dog.
Yeah.
To track him down, and the dog's like, "Oh, he'll pick up his scent. You're just following this dog through the open world bit.
Yeah.
Every now and then some monsters are showing up and the dog's like, whoa, I'll let you handle this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got like different overworld music.
Oh, that
different,
was sick.
Different battle music.
Yeah.
Just following your little dog called Salmon.
This was the same moment that, when you guys were in Japan and hadn't played it yet, that like really stood out to me as well of like the bow wow
yeah.
music.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just, and like it's weird because it like, you were saying this at the time, Adam, that it's like it feels, that bit feels so essential because it like leads you to this guy who then you find this like other big bit of the map that kind of tells you a lot about what's going on, but you can just really easily not do it. Like it's completely optional.
The mix of like having scale and detail that it has is crazy.
It's ridiculous. There's been several sections now where I'm like, you didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
Like, literally, this, like, plot wise, this is completely inessential, but there's all this extra gameplay.
Imagine if I, and it really does make you, because I'm very much someone in an open world game, I just kind of want to go through the main bits.
Yeah.
But this is like, I've done enough kind of incidental stuff that's been so interesting. Like that, that bit you go to in that first main big area when you find her son. And then the person that's like taken over the lighthouse that he wants you to go find. Mm-hmm. And she's got this whole, like, you just, it ends up taking you to these like beautifully designed areas that are so interesting. And
have their own little side stories going on.
And like, are all like fully scripted, not just like, oh, I'm here in this field and now fight five enemies.
Yeah.
Even if ultimately that's all the gameplay that you do is just fight a wave of enemies, the like packaging around it is so interesting. And It's such an interesting, like, the whole thing of it being sort of like at a point where, you know, we're generally so fatigued on the baseline of open world stuff and how boring it can be. This does feel really like a Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom where it's sort of not doing it. It's like just with a couple of little tweaks to the formula, it just makes it feel so fresh. Like you are in these big bits where it is essentially go here, find this marker, do this.
And you're literally climbing towers and doing the very typical stuff.
But this weird mix of it being part open world, but then you get into a bit that is just very linear for quite a long time, like leaving that town and it sort of says to you like, hey, you won't be able to come back here for quite a long time. And I was like, I don't know what that sort of means. Does it, you know, but that he's locked.
I will be able to come back here shortly.
In a way, like, you can never return to where you've been before.
Is it like emotionally changed, you can't go home again?
Well, I meant more, is it like you're,
parents, I guess. This is crazy, actually. I don't know if I'm ready to.
Are you then in the next big open world area and there's like a plot thing where something has happened to this town that means that you can't come back?
Right.
But what it is, it's like it's locked you into this very linear path of like, now I'm in this town having to do this this parade and now I'm on a boat. It's more just like narratively you're on this like rail where you've had this few hours before that are so open. But it's
the game does a good job as well, if you do want to follow main stuff, of allowing you to later on do side stuff.
I've found myself doing like all of those questions that you guys have mentioned, I've done, but I've not found myself being drawn to like climbing any more towers than are literally on the way to the next thing. Like I'm not doing the there are stuff where you can find these little like life stream materia like thingies. You can unlock weaker
like the boss fight for the summon boss fights that you have to do to get the summons.
Yes.
They will both be made stronger when you have them and be made weaker to fight if you find like three little shrines.
Been doing them, but then I haven't done I haven't really engaged too much with any of the Chadley stuff, which I should. I kind of have been doing a fair chunk of that stuff just because I'm like, I know there'll come a point where I feel I don't really want to have to grind later on at a point where I just feel under-leveled. So I'm just trying to kind of like, I am enjoying just the exploration and like, oh, this little mark on here. Well, it's all going to be interesting stuff, like walking to that anyway. And like every time you like find a new little point of interest, it like the map kind of opens up and it shows you like three or four more little things. And just like, even just like you meet a guy who's a photographer who's like, you know where you can take a fucking really good ass photo?
Yeah.
Just over here. And it's like, well, this game looks beautiful, so I'm sure this cunt knows what he's on about.
Right. Yeah, I haven't done any of that
the
stuff
ones
really.
The that are worth doing are like the artifact kind of ones that someone will, I think they call them artifacts or something like that. Those have more of a sort of story thing that's generally fun going on and less of a tick off the boxes, even though I did enjoy the tick off the boxes ones.
Yeah.
And then some of the tick off the boxes ones will have a thing that is at that place that will then be. Yeah. So there is a bit of a mix. But what do you think of the fucking little Moogle fucks? Have you done the Moogle houses?
I did one of them and I found that, like it doesn't quite give you enough context of, but kind of what you're meant to be doing.
They're rounding those little cunts up and they're dickheads.
But it kind of tells you you can just round them up or you can like herd them or you can catch them. And I couldn't work out how to...
They got
to
be dizzy before you catch them. Okay. If you herd them into some wind, then they're like, whoa!
See, it doesn't really tell you. It just says, you can just grab them. And I'm like, I was like walking right through them and going like, how do I... I've got him. How do I... What do I do? But yeah, that's, again, just weird tonally, just all of a sudden you're playing a completely different
game. And the tone stuff I didn't mind. It just wasn't fun, that bit. I fucking hated those.
Yeah, I did one and was like, oh, I'm not interested. But then, I think like all the stuff they've done at the Gold Saucer is really good. Like being able to play Queen's Blood again, they must have known people are going to be frothing over this because that's just something that's in there now that wasn't.
That is the thing when I'm going to a new bit, I'm hunting out all the people that reckon they can take me on.
They'd have to get an app out.
Yeah,
come on.
They've got to.
Let me waste more time.
I like how they fixed or just completely overhauled the chocobo racing. Like the original game, you just kind of like tapped X and hoped for the best. But like it's now kind of like a Mario Kart sort of alike.
Yeah.
Having to like catch one in each new region that's then your little... That's then
it
your
was,
guy.
Yeah. It was funny. Like the first two regions, there's like a mini game. And then the third region, they're like, you just have one now. But then I think I've gotten to the Cosmo Canyon area now and... Yeah, like there's that stealth game and I'm just like, it's not fun. It's just really slow paced.
You want your chocobo though.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? Like it is, they are all integral. And I think even the previous area, you just get it as part of the story. So like, and I think the criticisms I've seen of this game are the open world stuff gets repetitive by the end, which is the case for every open world game. It's just a matter of whether you enjoy it or not.
Mm.
The stealth stuff is no good. And I think, like, I haven't engaged with the open world stuff because I haven't been drawn to it and I don't like the stealth stuff.
I found those... I never, like, failed one of them. They were pretty easy to do, so, like, they didn't end up bothering me for some reason.
I think it's just...
There's very few of them, too.
It's just tedious to be like, okay, well... Because the rest of the game, you're fucking sprinting around and, you know...
The Moogle fucks are that for me.
Right.
They're just cunts and they should not be in this game.
It's a bit of a case for me where...
hate them.
It's trying to do... It is doing a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Often to... its own detriment. Like you can't throw so many different mechanics and so many different styles of game into the one thing, especially when some of them you're only encountering once every, 5 to 10 hours.
Right.
It's just not going to be as polished as the rest of it. And so it doesn't always work, but I still am glad it's all in there. I'd rather it be in there than not.
Someone will enjoy it, right?
Yeah. Like the stealth thing of like, the second chocobo that you go to catch where you've got to like, set these little carts going and like hide behind them was just a little like, oh, this isn't really fun. Just like slowly walking behind a slow moving cart to just loop my way around.
And then the second version of that is even more tedious and slow, which is why I'm like,
but it's more interesting that being in there is just the fact that it's like such a weird thing to have in there kind of adds to the overall. And also then, you get this, I could see a criticism being that like you get this momentum of this open world section and then the bit that I'm only just coming out of now where you're all of a sudden on this very linear path where you're learning a rhythm game to do a dance in a parade. It's like it is kind of like very, you think you're in the flow of the game and then it's like even just early on you hit this section where you're in these mines. Like so early on in the game.
Right.
And I was a bit like, I want to just be let loose in one of these like big areas that I've heard are kind of the point of this game. Like it feels like that is kind of like weirdly positioned. But again, yeah, it all, to me, it's like you come out of it and then it's all just adding to the overall flavor of it, that even if it's not quite hitting for you in one specific moment, the effect of that is on the whole,
right,
kind of
like
overall experience.
Yeah. And certainly, like, I'm about 27 hours in, and and I probably will finish it in that sort of like 40 to 45 hour, like, just kind of barreling down the campaign sort of time period. But it is so varied, and it does open itself up so many times throughout, even just where I'm up to at the moment. Mm. But then also the main thing that's interesting is the characters are fascinating and you know, empathetic and mysterious all the way through. Mm. And the story is both following directly the original game and then throwing in these confusing, to me, like flashbacks. I don't know necessarily when some of these things are taking place.
They're not back.
Yeah,
it explains itself by there, but it's like all sideways. I think tried to make that clearish by the point where you're up to as well.
Yeah, but it's yes, and I'm like, but why and how?
Yeah, yeah, but it is such a like great, like, it's the same as the last two Like a Dragon games, where it's right, like, here I am with my buddies. They're all very well written. The interactions are all great, and we're just on the lam together. Yeah. We're just like, it's us against the world, and it's like everyone's got their own personality, and in combat everyone's got their own style that is like all different, and like it is locking you into different party configurations in a way that Like a Dragon I don't think ever does.
No.
Except for in the beginnings when you're just sort of slowly unlocking people, but it making you kind of use all the different people in your party is cool, and like
it's very similar to that as well, I think, in terms of all the side stuff where I enjoyed it the most when I was just like, I'll let wherever I am right now tell me what to, like, I won't think about what I want to be doing, I'll think about what I'm very, you know, mindful.
Yeah, yes. I sat down to play it the other night and thought I was about to get up to a new open world bit, and I was like excited to go and do some towers and stuff, and then I just ended up playing that Queen's Blood tournament for like 2 hours. But it is really one that you, and again, I could see this being frustrating to some people of like, yeah, when you turn it on, you don't necessarily know what style of game you're going to be playing, and you really do need like 3 hours to just be like, I might have to just sit through a huge chunk of cutscenes for ages. But then in that cutscene, you know, you're all undercover and you all split up, and then Barrett turns up and he's dressed like fucking Donald Duck in this old-timey sailor outfit.
Yeah.
It's like, God, this is the good shit. This really is so good.
Yeah.
And yeah, that bit where you're chasing down the mayor's son with the dog, and he's getting all emotional about his own daughter.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, am I going to let her leave the nest, or am I going to clip her wings? And Cloud's like, get it together, she's one. Cloud swearing a lot is very funny to me.
It's
get a fucking grip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great game.
It's a great game.
I'm very curious to experience the ending of it, because I am becoming more skeptical about that side of it, but we'll see.
The story.
We'll see. Yeah.
I think same thing. Try to just let it happen in front of you and engage with it as without analysis as possible, because I do think it doesn't hold up to scrutiny or to like trying to make sense of it.
Yeah,
In a similar way to like to that Kingdom Hearts type of thing, where it's just like, this just is. This is how this is.
Yeah.
There isn't a how, though. You can't ask how, because they haven't bothered to tell you that. And they don't know it, and it's not a part of it. And that's dumb as fuck. But as long as you let it just be that, and I'm hoping that those sorts of things might get a little more, had a bow tie on them by the end of the third one.
Yeah.
I really love how much.
But definitely that's my advice for now, is just like, hey, let it be. Let
That's kind of what I, yeah, go. That's kind of what I'm doing. And I haven't, like, I to the point of I haven't really, like, as yeah, I didn't even really try to pick why or when any of it was happening.
Yeah.
Except for the main story, which is, you know, similar to the OG game, is like, yeah, it's this propulsive thing where you're following this person, and this guy has this fucking other conflicting thing, and this guy has this other thing, and are you going to ally with the... So all of that stuff obviously is as good as the original. It's not, like, tempered by the other stuff.
It's weird because it's part two of three where there are clearly deliberate question marks left there.
Right.
But when the question is so confusing, it's not even like it's a mystery where you're like, oh, I wonder who the killer is.
Yeah.
And someone being like, oh, I wonder who... Like, you can't even go, oh, was it the candlestick in the conservatory? You have to go, what's a fucking candlestick?
Yeah. The question mark is like, got eight fucking wiggles in it before it gets to the dot.
Real Joker style.
It is it is like a funny mishmash of... It is like a funny mishmash of, like, they've got this template that is very, like, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so much of that flavor of it still shining through, even though it is completely overhauled visually and... You know, a lot of the writing of it is very, like, modern day anime style, like the new stuff that they've added in. But then there just will be these flourishes where, like, when you're rounding up your regimen for the parade, and they talk to you and then they're like, aye, aye, Captain, and they all, like, kind of put their arms out and they do their, like, jaunty little, it's like, that's something from a fucking game from the, like, that's such an old school, goofy, weird thing to have in there that, like, the fact that those edges haven't been sanded off and they're like,
they're like riding
Mr. Dolphin around, like, how do we make this stuff work in the context of it looking sort of not real life, but, you know,
they've played it up way more, to be funny.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. I think it's, some of it's to be funny and is funny separate from it being a reference, but it is also very a direct reference to this game that could only have a certain amount of pixels.
Keeping these goofy things in, but then adding this new stuff that is very current of, like, what if the spirit, very, like, modern anime video game kind of thing is, like, again, such a weird combination.
It was peeking through in the first one, like the very clear thing they're doing here of, like, you couldn't be more modern, big-budget CGI storytelling than being like, what if uni was not the prefix to verse?
Yes.
That's how they phrase their fucking questions in this thing, where you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, multiverse. Oh,
say it normal, motherfucker.
There's also...
We've murdered a soul.
A great representation of the original blocky... character designs in the game that gave me a real nostalgia hard on, but yeah, it's doing references.
Three polygons, just
two and a half. It's doing all of this nostalgic stuff without it being like gross or gratuitous. It's just like
it's fun.
It's not pandering. Celebration. It's just this is the source material, and like
I think it may be, like one of those confusing, flawed masterpieces that hopefully gets rounded off with a third that is equally, as fascinating.
It is also funny to be like, my favorite thing from being a kid has now been remade and nostalgia is no longer bad.
All right, guys, we better leave it there for another week.
Thank I don't get right of reply to that. No, it's completely accurate.
I'm the same about stuff I hated when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, wow, they're bringing back the Animaniacs. Like, I fucking didn't like the Animaniacs so much.
Thanks for listening. Come see us this Sunday at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival if you're in Melbourne.
Please do.
And the next three Sundays, in fact. 3 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn in Melbourne. Tickets at filthycasuals.com.au, where you can also find the link to our Patreon. Get a bonus show every week. Get on the YouTube channel. We got heaps of stuff on there for you to watch if you would like to watch us play some video games. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. As we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Fucking pepper grinder, I barely know her.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.